19, Luke 19. Today I want to talk about nobility. Let me read 3 or 4 passages. In Luke 19, verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was immediately to appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called 10 servants of his and gave them 10 pounds and said unto them, trade until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent an ambassador after him, saying, we will not that this man reign over us. And it came to pass, when he was come back again, having received the kingdom, that he commanded these servants unto whom he had given the money to be called unto him, that he might know what they had gained by trading. Verse 27. But these my enemies that would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Notice, a certain nobleman, and there's no doubt who he is. John chapter 18. Verse 23. Pilate therefore entered again into the praetorium and called Jesus and said unto him, are you the king of the Jews? And look at verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. Now, let's look at Acts 17. Verse 10. I wanted to work a little of this portion in that we study on Wednesday night. And so in verse 10 of chapter 17 of Acts, we read, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, when they were come thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, also of the Greek women of honorable estate, and of men not a few. And look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians 10:26, for you behold your calling, brethren, that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God chose the foolish things of the world that he might put to shame them that are wise. And God chose the weak things of the world that he might put to shame the things that are strong. And the base things of the world and the things that are despised did God choose. Yea, and the things that are not, that he might bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory before God. And last, Revelation 1. Verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins by his blood. And he made us to be kings and priests unto his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all the portions that we have read this morning. They tell us of things that men place so much importance upon. We pray, our Father, that you shall teach us from what we've read and what we shall hear in your will, what things are important and what are not important. We pray that your Spirit shall teach us about true nobility, our God, and that we might know and rejoice that what Christ has made us and what God has made us, indeed our Father, are to be looked upon as true nobility. So help us to understand these things, our Father, and let it not make us proud, but let it make us humble, knowing our origin. You've heard the prayer request for all of those. Lord, we are thankful for what answered prayer by us hands are given us. We pray, Father, that the good start shall be continued. And we pray, Father, for the report of a little increase in the tent work. And so for every encouraging report, our God, receive our thanks and continue to be with it and work among the people of God and in the world as we continue to seek to serve thee. So bless us this morning, we pray. You know our need. We confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you promised, and glorify the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you've ever checked up on your genealogy, did you ever find any nobility or any royalty as you look way back? Well, if you did, and it's the nobility of the royal family of England, you should be ashamed. For this reason, in checking my genealogy, I find some people whose names I shall tell you nothing about, and others whose names I could mention, and I would rejoice. But what happens is this, that most of us have something in us that we want to lay hold on that which is spoken of as nobility, royalty. And yet, I've read you portions to show that no one since Adam has truly been called noble or honorable in the physical sense unless God has lifted them and made them so. I could have read you a portion from 1 Samuel chapter 2. And this is what Anna said when she's praising God. She said, he lifteth up the poor from the dust. He raiseth up the needy from the dunghill, and makes them to sit with kings and to inherit the throne of glory. And so the only ones that are truly noble ones are those that have been lifted from the dust and the dunghill. I rejoice in that, because some of us mistakenly look back upon our past and say, well, I was not a great sinner. But that's not the illustration that the Lord Jesus gives. In the Gospel of Luke, he speaks about one man that was telling God how important he was. I thank you, God, that I'm not this other man. And then he lists all the good things about himself. And there was another man that was a tax collector. And when he went into the presence of God, he would not lift up his face to God, but smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord Jesus said, that man went home justified. So think of this. A man who tells about his importance and how good he is, and the Lord Jesus said, he goes out from the temple the same way that he came in. And another man confesses to God how unworthy he is. And he said, in spite of what I am, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord Jesus said, he went home justified. So, it means that I must change my way of thinking. And if there is any pride in me, because I can look back and find somebody in the past who was of importance, it does not mean that I have inherited that importance. It means that what he was that is good places a responsibility upon me to imitate his life of rectitude and of honor and respect, and to depart from those others that I know of whose lives and names are shameful. And that is what makes it important. And this is what God tells us. It says concerning our Savior, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so the Lord tells us this, that you are born not of blood, and it's really blood. It means that you get nothing of importance from what your father's genealogy is or what your mother's genealogy is. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. It's not what you are by your own personal determination of the will apart from God, nor of the will of man. It's not what anybody can personally bestow upon you. But it says, you were born of God. And that gives us all hope. And so it humbles us, but at the same time, it gives us hope. And so if you look back and find somebody that does have a reputation, somebody that's good, it challenges us. And it makes us think that perhaps something that they did, some prayer that they prayed, had its influence upon God and he worked upon us. Like this, I never knew until 1976 anybody except my grandfather and my ancestry. I just heard about him, how good a man he was, and I didn't know much about him. But then my cousin started coming to me and telling me about my ancestors, because some of my cousins a longing for ancestors that are important. And they were looking for somebody in the past who was in the Revolutionary War so they could be not daughters of the American Revolution, but sons of the American Revolution. And so they were looking in their genealogy, and it got me interested, and I started looking, and I rejoiced in it, because I found out some things that were good, along with some things that were bad, but at least you learn a little bit about your past. And this is my confession, that when you look over the census, it started in 1790, not until 1850 do we get the details that we need to know. And it tells their education, it tells how much money they have, how much property they own, whether they own slaves, it tells all of those things. And so now let me tell you about my great-grandfather. My great-grandfather, Wesley Mills. He was not able to read all right. And let me tell you also about some of the others in the past. Some of them were able to read and write. And at that time, that was a great recommendation. If you say, my father can read or write, or my child can read or write, that was a great compliment, and you would think of those things. And also, I found this out about the Millses, that not one of them ever owned a slave. And so that could be good or bad. But as I look on the other side, then I find that they did own slaves. And so some, as far as I know, of the Mills that go back, some of them were illiterate, and some of them owned nothing, but they came and bought 150 acres of land for a few dollars, wherever they got that money, God knows. But they owned a little land, and they were farmers, and though they were not able to read or write, they sent their children to school, and some of their children were able to read and write. Now, I mention all of those things because it humbles you when you think of where you came from and the advantages that we have, and also the education that we have, and also the heritage that is ours in the Word of God. That is the thing that is important. And so if you ask me that which I can boast about, God forbid that I should glory, say, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the thing that we boast about most. But also, some of your ancestors you look at in the past, some things you can say good about them. And I didn't know this, and it meant ever so much to me, that my great-great-great-grandfather, Wilhelm Betz, had 6 sons. And all of those sons were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, were students of the Word of God, or were ministers of the Word of God. And one of them was a chaplain to Robert E. Lee in the war between the states. Now, that could puff up a Southerner. But what I'm thinking is this, that I was one that was in the dunghill when God lifted me up. And it may be that one of those men of God in the past prayed for me as I have prayed for you and your children, that you might amount to something and that your children and grandchildren might amount to something. Because do not think that God just honors our prayers as long as we live. There are some who have prayed and made requests that God in their lifetime never answered their prayers. But many years later, He did. I remember one of my aunts who was married to a man who was given to drink, and she prayed 40 years with a man. And as I recall, finally after 40 years, he trusted Christ, the Savior. How many of us have prayed that long? And so we look at the past, and if you think of any man, there is no one to whom you can point since the fall of Adam and point to him with pride. The Jews said this, "We have Abraham for our father. We were not born of fornication." If you read in the Bible what God says about Abraham, you are ashamed, because even the Jews confess, both in Deuteronomy and in the book of Joshua, our fathers were idolaters beyond the river. And it means that Abraham was nothing but an idolater, and his ancestors were idolaters. They knew nothing about the living, the one true God. And God, in his grace, reached down and lifted up Abraham from the dunghill, and God blessed him in spite of his failure throughout his life. May I tell you what he almost caused his wife to happen to her? He almost made her an adulteress, because he told half the truth when he said, "She is my sister." Indeed, she was, but she was his wife. And twice he was rebuked by the heathen. But God, in his grace, took a stand beside Abraham. But if people say, "I came from Abraham," you look at his life and you see his failure. If you say, "Well, I happen to be of the tribe of Judah, descended from David. David, the man after God's own heart." May I tell you about David's adultery and his murder? You say, "Yes." Then I would be ashamed if I were descended from David. If you mention Joseph, the son of Jacob, then I would not be able to call you. I've looked in the Bible in vain for anything of importance that Joseph ever did that God rebuked. He was one, and if I were descended from him, if I were Manasseh or Ephraim, I would say, "Joseph was my father." But concerning David, I do not know. Is David your father? Yes. Oh, the one that took Uriah the Hittite's wife, the one that had him murdered? Yes, that was my father. And also, if you say, "Well, are you descended from royalty? Are you one of the sons of David?" Yes. Well, was your brother Absalom the murderer? The one who would have murdered his own father so that he might be king? You would say, "Yes." And you are proud to be among the sons of David? You would say, "Well, some of them, but not all of them." Well, Solomon, yes, at first, but then at the last, Solomon became an idolater. His life was eaten up with lust. And so there are very few things that you can point to and say, "I am proud of this. There is something about me that is noble. There is something about me that is honorable." And yet, concerning every one of us, not that we get it from what we point to in the past, but what we point to in relation to Jesus Christ and what we have done with our lives since then. And if you ask me, in what sense are you honorable? I will tell you this. I am honorable in the sense of the way that I study the Word of God, and what I listen to when men speak the Word of God. There are those who listen to what the brethren say, and what they say is absolute truth. It is the law. They could never say anything wrong. And that's the last thing I do. Those are the ones that I watch most closely. I'm so ashamed at times when I read the commentaries of the great men of God, supposedly the learned ones, and I read things and they know so little and they are so ignorant and they are led astray so often. And even the brethren, they make a statement. And if you say, do you believe this doctrine? And some will say, yes, I believe that doctrine. Why? And they will mention all the prominent brethren because they believe that doctrine. Then you're not honorable at all. You're to be reproved. Why? Because I read to you from Acts chapter 17 that the Bereans were honorable in that when the Apostle Paul preached, they reverently and respectfully listened to everything he said. And then it said they went home and they searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Now, that is why they are honored. And if you say anything, any of you, and I accept it because of your person, then that is dishonorable. But if you say a thing, and I go home and find it in the Word of God, then God looks upon me and says, that man is honorable. And that is the honor that I want. Let me tell you this. That is nobility and that is honor because it says concerning Jabez. There's been a book written recently and it sold thousands of copies. And it says, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Why? Not because of his ancestry, but because of his prayer. He said, oh, that you would bless me indeed, and that you would enlarge my coast, and that you would bless me indeed, and that your hand would be with me and keep me from evil. And it said, God granted him that which he requested. That is why Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Why? Because when he stood beside them, it may be that he was like David. When God's anointed was looked for, Samuel looked at all the older, prominent sons of Jesse, and he said, this is the Lord's anointed. Not one of them was. But it was the youngest man that was of no importance, and Jesse did not even ask him to come forth. God said, he is the one. And so in like manner, when we are looking at honorable people, and some of you, if a man has a so-called education, if he has wealth, if he has possessions, you say, oh, I want to be associated with that man. Those are the ones at times you should be ashamed to be associated with. But if you give me a child of God, a student of the scripture, who has searched and is able to say, thus saith the Lord, then that is nobility. That is honor. One who points to his past and says, I am descended from a fallen king. Why? Because Adam was the king of all the earth. God said, have dominion over all the earth. And Adam fell, and all of his descendants are fallen as well, except the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is the only one, it says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Tell me any other man that can have that said concerning them. I can say this, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. That is what David finally said concerning himself. And also, we are all as an unclean thing, and we all do fade as a leaf. But I read you in Revelation chapter 1, unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests unto God, and has given us an inheritance among them that are sanctified. It says this. It says, The Spirit himself beareth witness with us that we are the children of God, and the children then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with our Lord Jesus Christ. If you ask me, am I proud? Yes, I'm proud. Why? Because I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I've been lifted from the dust and the dunghill by the grace of God. And I've been associated with the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. That is why I have nobility. And that is why I have honor. Not because of anything I am inherently. Not because of anyone in the past that I can point to as to the flesh. Not anyone in the past that had possessions and education and influence. All of those things are pride and they're sinful. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vain boasting of the flesh. It is not of God, but it is of the flesh. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. There is only one noble man. There is only one king that God acknowledges, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice, I told you, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. The Lord Jesus was that nobleman. And when Pilate said to the Lord Jesus, are you a king? He said, you say exactly what I am. You say that I am a king. And the Lord Jesus is that nobleman who shall come into his own. And the Lord Jesus is that King of kings and Lord of lords. And so let all of our boasting be about our associations with him. And thank God if we can find somebody in the past, as I mentioned, in mine. And if you happen to be associated with a man like Joseph, yes, rejoice. But understand that that is something that happened in the past. But let us, by our association with Christ, by our study of the Word of God, our being like Jabez and our being like the Bereans, may God look upon us and say, they are noble, they are honorable. That is nobility indeed. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that you shall forgive us for all the things that we place importance upon, the things that we would boast about. Our God, you speak about those who glory in their shame. And so forgive us, Father, for all things of the flesh that would make us boast. And let us say with Paul, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. For any of our fathers and mothers that told us of the Lord Jesus, yes, we would boast in that. We would acknowledge how good you are, our Father, to have parents that told us of Christ, and also for parents that try to live for the Lord Jesus. And so we pray, our God, that we might understand that. But all of these boastings are of grace. The things that you've done, our Father, unmerited favor bestowed upon us. And so help us, our Father, knowing whose children we are, knowing what the future holds for us, heirs of God, and joint heirs with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us walk worthily of the calling wherewith we are called. And let us be worthy to be called kings and priests of God. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.